Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Time now for the Outdoor Living and Gardening Show, presented by Preston Green, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Give the show a call at 502-8150-93.9. Now, here's your host, Steve Mercer.
Well, good morning, Kentuckiana. It's another sunny day in the Ville, and not too hot yet, It kind of feels a little warmer than normal for this time of day. Looks like it's going to be lower 90s this afternoon, and that's kind of what we kind of expect this time of year. Though it has been hotter than normal here in June than normal, sometimes Mother Nature just throws the change-up pitch every once in a while. So just something we got to adapt to, I guess. We got a little bit of rain this week. We could use a little bit more. Hopefully we'll get some real soon. And it's we've got a 50% sale going on, 50% off sale going on right now for all of our annuals and succulents and vegetable plants and house plants, hanging baskets. Come out and take a look. If you still have room in your garden or you just haven't got started yet, why, come see us. Great time to get a good buy while you're out there. And we're still doing lots of landscaping, landscape design is very much active right now. Our landscape designer is working with clients almost every day. People who are ready to redo their landscape. And you know, it happens every once in a while. You know, landscape maintenance gets to the point where eventually the shrubs may get too big for the area you planted them in, and sometimes you just have to do a complete reboot and tear them out and start over. And we're used to that kind of drill. We do it all the time for people. The beautiful part about it is that our designer can come out and take a picture of your landscape, rub out all that old landscape shrubbery that's in that picture and put in all new shrubbery and new mulch and show you what it's going to look like before you even spend a dime. And believe it or not, once the job's done, It actually looks like what that picture we designed for you shows you what it was going to look like, and it actually looks like that. And we have a lot of satisfied customers from that perspective, and you could be one of those customers too if you give us a call. We believe it or not, we're still selling firewood. And if you are needing firewood for a campfire here around 4th of July, why, give us a call. We'd love to help you. And looks like it's going to be a short week this week because of the 4th of July. A lot of people are getting ready to do some vacationing. And that brings up a couple of topics for today that we'll talk about later in the show, about how to keep those plants looking nice while you're out on vacation. And that's all important. If you spent the money and you know you're going to be gone for a week or two, why, you know, you need a plan for how you're going to take care of those plants while you're gone. And sometimes relying on a family member or a neighbor just doesn't quite get the results that you're looking for. There are ways to deal with that. May cost a little bit of money up front, but in the long run, you can use it over and over again, year after year. And when you come back from your vacation, why, everything is just as you left it. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. In our outdoor living section today, we want to talk a little bit about pavers and paver installation. You know, this is the time of the year when the rain tends to slow down, and we get into the drier months. And when you're doing big construction projects, why, that's the ideal time to tackle those types of projects. So if you're thinking about a patio or a new sidewalk or even a retaining wall, now's the time to be really trying to get that project moving, because you'll have less mud and mess to deal with if you do it in the drier times of the year. And this is certainly the time to do it. Now, when we talk about pavers, you know, there's several different types of pavers. And, you know, there's the traditional clay brick paver. There's also a concrete paver. And they come in several different shapes and sizes to give you lots of interesting patterns for say a patio. A newer type of paver is the porcelain paver. Porcelain pavers are a little different than the porcelain tile in your house. They're a little thicker. They run about 3/4 of an inch thick, they're fired a little hotter, and they're designed to resist the freeze and thaw of the outdoor environment. So they're probably the newest addition to patio surfaces. We're going to talk a little bit about each of those today, because porcelain pavers and concrete pavers are somewhat different. Most concrete and brick pavers will benefit from being sealed, and that requires some maintenance. And it's one of those kind of things where if you don't do it down the road, you may wish you had. I was at a commercial office building this week, signing some paperwork, and I noticed as I walked in, and they had the front landscaping, but they had these trees planted fairly close to their pavers, sidewalk out in front of the building, and they had the columns of the building came out and shaded a portion of those pavers. And I noticed two things. First of all, the pavers under the shade of the building were a completely different color than the pavers that were outside, exposed to the outside area. I mean, they were basically red on the inside of, you know, where the building was shading it on the outside. They were completely faded out. And the other thing I noticed was, because the trees were planted fairly close to those pavers, that in several areas the roots of the trees had heaved the pavers up. And those are classic examples of problems that were not addressed early, and as a result of that, it's damaged their paver surfaces. Now, had those pavers been sealed, their color would probably still be consistent. And also, there's a product out there that you put around the border of your pavers that protects your pavers from root incursion from trees nearby, but it has to be done before the trees get big. So the day you install your pavers, you need to install these hardscape barriers to protect the hardscaped area from tree incursion from growing underneath those pavers and heaving your pavers up. It's a whole lot cheaper to go on and install that right up front than try to remediate the problem after the fact. And when those roots start to heave those pavers up, why, it creates a trip hazard on that walkway. And nobody wants to see somebody entering a commercial building that trips and falls and breaks something. Tends to raise your insurance rates when the lawsuits ensue. And so an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, as the old saying goes. And so it's not enough just to install the pavers. You have to install that hardscape barrier if you're going to have trees in the area. And the problem is that if you don't do it right up front, you may not have any intentions of putting any trees in there when you first install the pavers. But later on, when you know you're out there trying to enjoy the area and it's just hot and sunny and you just can't stand to be out there on that patio because it's so hot, next thing you know, you're going to be planting a tree. And as soon as you plant that tree, why, the clock starts ticking about, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when the tree is going to damage your paver surfaces. So it's a whole lot easier when you install these hardscape barriers right up front when you install your patios than to wait and do it after the fact. Now there are some drawbacks to using sealers on pavers, and it makes the surface slicker when wet. And the benefits are is it prevents the pavers from getting damaged, and stained up. It seals all the pores in the pavers, so if you drop a greasy hamburger or something on it, it's not going to leave a permanent stain on your pavers. Also keeps your pavers from fading. And we're talking concrete and brick type pavers, clay brick type pavers. Now, porcelain pavers, on the other hand, are a different animal. They're basically glass, and they're non-porous. They don't need to be sealed. They never fade, and they have an anti-slip surface even when wet. So, if you want the ultimate in low maintenance and continual beauty, the porcelain paver has a lot to offer. Contrary to popular belief, they can be installed on wooden deck surfaces. They can be installed on patios. They can even be installed out in the grass. They can be installed with decorative rock between them. So you have lots of options to get a different look with those pavers. And they come in a wide variety of colors and shapes. So if you're looking for a continual beauty, a beauty that doesn't fade over time, that you don't have to go out and continually seal, the porcelain paver might have some significant advantages. Now, for example, on a deck, if you were going to replace the wood planks on your deck, there's a special plastic piece that we either install flush with the tops of your floor joist on an existing deck, or if we're building a new deck, we just lower the deck a little bit and put these pieces right on top of the floor joist, and they provide the surface to install your pavers to. And the beauty of that is that once these porcelain pavers are installed, the pressure washing of the deck becomes a no need, because the mold won't grow on them, and they're much easier to maintain. They don't fade. They're going to be about the price of say a composite decking material, maybe slightly more, but I mean not too much. The beauty of the finished product is unmatched, and it's something that if you've never seen it, you need to check it out. It offers a beautiful product, maintenance is one of the things that no homeowner likes to do, it becomes a necessary evil to maintain your house. And anytime you can pick products that are lower maintenance, that just means more free time for you to be out enjoying your outdoor living space rather than out there toiling away trying to just maintain the surfaces so that they don't fade and they don't stain. So it's a very important issue that needs to be considered when you're purchasing those pavers. Now, another issue on installation, if you're going to install these yourself, there's a few details you need to know. And in our soils around here, after we excavate an area for a paver type patio, we start with a stabilization fabric, or a geotextile stabilization fabric, before we start adding your rock base to the area. Now, that's very important because in our area, we're primarily a clay soil base, and the clay particle is the smallest particle in the soil. And so when you put rock, which is a larger aggregate size than the clay particle, and you put that on that top of that clay, and then you add weight to it, and then you add water to it, the next thing you know, the clay particles start to migrate up into the gravel, and it causes an unstable surface for your pavers. And then down the road, all of a sudden, your pavers are, the surface of your pavers are uneven. And so the first thing that has to be done is you have to stabilize your base. And you can do that with a stabilization fabric. There are some products out there that are like plastic tiles that you install, and they lock together, and they do the stabilization for you, and then you put rock in them, and then these plastic tiles prevent the rock from moving in any direction, and so it makes for a much stable, more stable platform for you to install your pavers. If you're not going to use those plastic square tiles, then you've got to go and use a compacted rock base. Now, if you use these plastic stabilization tiles, you won't need as much gravel a base to install to stabilize your area. That's the advantage of using those plastic tiles. Now, the plastic tiles are going to cost a little more money, but they're going to end up being able for you to install it quicker and to use less rock, which is, you know, just you have to think about the logistics of hauling all that rock back into your backyard and what that's going to do to, you know, how much of the yard that's going to tear up and have to be repaired. You know, all those things have to be contemplated when you start into a paver project. And so sometimes, even though these plastic pieces are more expensive, they save you on the cleanup side of the project in trying to put the yard back together the way it was before you started. So, you know, you have to weigh the cost of those pieces against the cost of the cleanup. And in many instances, it's just cheaper to use the plastic bases, and it costs you a little more money up front, but it saves you money on the back end. Now, you have to compact this rock to complete compaction. If you're just using rock and you're not using the plastic bases, then you have to compact the rock to complete compaction. And so the plate compactor, the vibratory plate compactor you use, is rated for a certain amount of compaction. So one of the smaller type plate compactors, you might be able to only compact about 4 inches at a time, which means you have to lay 4 inches of rock down, and then you have to compact that. Then you have to lay 4 inches more down and compact that. And some of the bigger plate compactors can compact like 6 inches of base down at a time. And so we call these fill levels lifts. So if you have a smaller plate compactor, you're going to install your rock base in 4-inch lifts. And so it's important to adhere to that, because if you just put all the rock in all at once and then you run a plate compactor over it, you won't get the lower areas of the base compacted to complete compaction, and down the road when it starts to settle, the surface of your pavers will be uneven. And so all the work is in the prep for your base. By the time you get ready to start laying pavers, most of the hard work's been done, the quality of a paver job is in the prep work you do for your base, and if that's done properly, and you install a hardscape barrier around the perimeter of your hardscapes, and you put the proper barrier to keep the sand from pouring out around your pavers, around the perimeter, then you'll end up with a patio that will just last for a very long time and be a very enjoyable thing for the family. And it just is one of those kind of things where it has to be done right. And it's very unforgiving and very noticeable if you don't do it right. So picking your paver is just as important. What type of paver you're going to use, and also sometimes colors matter too. So in the case of porcelain pavers, if you're on a sunny patio, you might not want a dark colored paver because it'll be hot to walk on. You might want to use a lighter color. Now, if you're in a shady area, then that really won't matter. You can use a darker paver in a shadier area. So there are a lot of considerations when it comes time to installing pavers and to do it right. And the goal is to create an outdoor living environment that is safe to walk on and provides great beauty for your yard. Now, in the case of the porcelain pavers, one of the advantages to them are that you can actually get an indoor tile that will match the color of your outdoor paver. So the room that has the door to the entrance to your outdoor paver area, your patio or your deck, it can be the same pattern. So it kind of brings the outside in or the inside out to the pavers. And so that's a very important transition from the indoor environment to the outdoor environment. That's a little more difficult to do with concrete or brick pavers outside because very few people want those type surfaces on the inside of their house. So the porcelain pavers are gradually taking over the market from these other products. Now, you can still use porcelain pavers on a driveway. Contrary to popular belief, they can be installed on a driveway just fine. And if you have a vehicle that has an oil leak that comes to visit you, it's not going to permanently stain your pavers. You can just get the cleaning materials out from underneath the sink and go out there and clean that spot right up, and it'll be just as beautiful as the day you installed it. So long-term longevity and ease of maintenance, the porcelain pavers went out every time, and that's why they're becoming more and more popular all the time. We're going to take our first break now, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
You're listening to the Outdoor Living and Gardening Show, presented by Preston Green, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Give the show a call at 502-8150-93.9. Now, here's your host, Steve Mercer.
Well, we're back in Tuckiana, and, you know, a lot of people are have got their vegetable gardens planted by now, and they're beginning to harvest some vegetables from that garden. And you know, if you haven't experienced it yet, you probably will, you know, as these vegetables get closer to harvest. And that's the critters like to eat those vegetables too, and so you know, I don't mind sharing a little bit with the critters, but, you know, I kind of like to have some vegetables for the family to eat. So at some point, you're faced with a decision of how you're going to deal with the critters. And there are various... there are various methods to deal with that, depending on the critters that you're dealing with. There are some repellents that you can put around the perimeter of your garden that work to various degrees of success. Some work very well. Some don't work hardly at all. And so... that is one way to deal with the issue. Another way to deal with the issue is fencing. That fencing, you have a couple of options. You can just go with, you know, some sort of a fencing that just acts as a barrier to keep them from crossing that area. Another option is to go with an electric fence. We found the electric fence to be very effective. When you put, you know, one wire down low, about 4 inches off the ground, that gets most of the critters that are, you know, like rabbits and groundhogs and whatnot that are trying to get in your garden. If you have a deer problem, you know, raising up, another wire, you know, on up about waist high or whatnot, will help deter the deer from getting in the garden. And sometimes, if that doesn't work, you may have to go up with several more wires if they're just jumping over the area. So it really depends on the pressure. You know, how many deer and you know, are trying to enter the area, and how hungry they are as to what you're going to have to do to deter them. Now, it's not just the critters with four legs you got to worry about. It's also the critters with the 2 feet you got to worry about, the ones that have wings. And, you know, I've seen birds come in and peck holes in your – they only seem to peck holes in the ripe tomatoes. They never seem to want to eat the green ones. I don't understand why. You know, you go out there and you've got your taste buds all wound up. You've been watching that one tomato as it begins to turn. And just about the time you're ready to go out there and pick it, you go out there and it's got a big old hole in it where a bird has come in and pecked a hole in it. Now, it's not just the birds. The squirrels are also jumping in and can be a problem as well. And, you know, sometimes you may have to put some sort of a lath cover over the garden just to prevent that type of problem from occurring. And as with anything else, you know, the more the wildlife is, the more hungry they are, the more likelihood you're going to have to fight the, you know, you're going to have a problem that you're going to have to address. And so it's something that you just have to be prepared to deal with as a gardener, is how you're going to control the varmints. And it's one of those kind of things where you either do it or you don't end up with a vegetable to eat that year. I mean, the deer absolutely love sweet potatoes, and I have seen them come in and eat the sweet potato vines right down to the stub at ground level, and there's nothing left of the plant after they come through, and that's how much they like them. So, you know, sometimes when you have those kinds of issues, you're faced with a situation. If you want to grow sweet potatoes, you're going to have to put up some sort of fencing or barrier to keep the critters out, because otherwise you may not get anything that year. You did all that work, you tilled the ground up, you bought the plants, you brought them in, you planted them, they're looking great, you've been watering them and fertilizing them, taking care of, and you come out there one day and they're eaten to the ground. And they won't come back. Well, that's farming, guys. That's what the farmers have to deal with every day. Every year, the deer do billions of dollars of damage to farmers' crops, and so when you have thousands of acres of soybeans, why, it's very difficult to control the population of deer that are going to go out there and just forage on them. And it's kind of one of those things. It's just kind of part of farming. And gardening is a type of farming. It's just on a micro level rather than a macro level. And don't invest heavily in a garden without some consideration of how you're going to control these critters, because if you leave them to their own devices, they're going to go out there and clean you out. And one would hope that when you go out there to and plant your garden and do all the work to get them ready to where you can start harvest them, one would expect to be able to go out there and harvest some so your family can enjoy the fruits of the harvest as well. And sometimes you just get to a point where you have to deal with the critters. And sometimes that can be with gunpowder and lead if you're out on a farm somewhere. Sometimes it's with a chemical barrier, and sometimes it's with fencing, whether it be regular fencing or electric fencing. Whatever method that you choose, you may have to tweak it as you go along, because depending on the pressure, the pressure of the varmints may require a more drastic measure as far as controlling the critters. Now, one other way that and one other method is using cage type traps. I mean, you can get those traps at a Tractor Supply. Raccoons happen to be a particular damaging critter for corn. I mean, just about the time you're ready to go out there and start picking sweet corn, the coons come in one night and just rim wreck the whole patch of corn. One day you've got, you know, a beautiful crop and you're ready to harvest, and the next day you got nothing. And that's just how devastating they can be. These cage traps can be very effective in that respect. They do have some particular things you got to watch out for, and that is occasionally those cage traps will catch a skunk, and then you've got to decide how you're going to deal with the skunk in your trap. Nobody wants to get back in the house with the perfume of a skunk on them. That causes some particular consternation when that happens. There are many different ways to attack this problem, but it depends on what critter you're fighting. And you may be fighting multiple critters. You may have groundhogs, you may have raccoons, and you may have deer. And so each one of those may require a different method for control in order to have a decent garden. That's just kind of the nature of the beast. So we're going to take our last break, and we'll be right back.
Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Iroquois Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
You're listening to the Outdoor Living and Gardening Show, presented by Preston Green, right here on 93.9 The Ville. Give the show a call at 502-8150-93.9. Now, here's your host, Steve Mercer.
Well, we're back in Kentuckiana, and you know, I don't have to I don't have to read the Wall Street Journal or listen to the statistics from the Fed to know when the economy picks up. You know why? Because our phone starts ringing. And here of late, our phone has started ringing off the hook for people who want to build houses and swimming pools. And so I know that... the economy is definitely picking up because we've gone through a period where it's been relatively weak, and all of a sudden things are changing dramatically, and that usually happens close to an election. It's amazing how the Federal Reserve always seems to engineer a more rosy economy right here before the election, and this year is no different. We've got a number of customers that have contacted us that wants us to build houses, and we have other customers that are contacting us wanting us to do pools. We still have some room in our schedule. If you have one of those types of projects, why, give us a call. You know, we are at peak season for the pool time of year, and so Don't miss out on that. If you are in the mood to get a pool installed, we do in-ground pools. They're built out of a product called Integrated Concrete Forms. These are poured concrete wall pools. They're not, you know, the steel or fiberglass walls that a, you know, the cheaper pools offer. They have the same types of finishes that you would expect out of a gunite pool, with pool plaster and tile and whatnot. And they will give you a lasting beauty. And the only difference is that they're insulated, so you actually can afford to heat these pools in the wintertime. Much more economical to do so. And one of the things that we do that's a little different than most of our competitors is that we build what's called a swim out pool. Now, if you go out and you spend $70,000 to $100,000 on a pool and pool deck and surrounding area, it seems an absolute shame that you only can use that area for 3 months out of the year. You know, you can have an insulated pool, you can heat your pool, but that doesn't solve the primary problem of swimming in a pool in cold weather. And the primary problem with swimming in a pool in cold weather is getting in and out of the darn thing. Now, who wants to get out of a pool soaking wet with just a bathing suit on and do the 100-yard dash to the house, you know, when it's 20 degrees outside? Now, you know, you might attempt that once or twice, but I guarantee you, you won't attempt it three times. It's just very unpleasant to do. And so the way around that is to actually build just the shallow end of the pool. Now, I'm not talking the whole shallow end of the pool, just a portion of the shallow end of the pool inside a pool house. And you put a bifold door across that area, and you install a baffle on the track for the bifold door that hangs down in the water, so that when you open your pool cover, you don't have that cold air blowing up into the pool house. And you open your pool cover, you get your swim clothes on in the pool house in the warm, you walk down in the warm water, and you duck underneath that baffle, and you swim out into the pool. And now you can enjoy that pool, and when you're ready to get out, you just swim back to that area and duck under the baffle and walk back into the pool house in the warm. Now, that's the way to swim in a pool. You don't have to have a complete enclosure over your pool to enjoy your pool in the wintertime. Really, the only other piece of gear you need is a swim cap for your head, just to keep the cold from getting your head cold from the cold outside. You know, there'll be some heat coming off the pool itself, so that'll keep you warm enough when you're swimming in the pool. And and what that does is that turns a pool that cost you that kind of money, it turns it from a thing that you only get to enjoy 3 months out of the year to something that you can enjoy year round. First, you have to have a pool that is economical to heat. We provide that with our insulated pools. And second, you have to provide a way to get in and out of the pool without freezing to death. We usually install your hot tub inside the pool house. And that way, when you get in your hot tub, when you get ready to come out of your hot tub, again, you don't have to do the 100-yard dash because you're right there in a warm room. So you just come right out of the pool hot tub and right into the room. And, you know, you don't catch a chill coming out of the hot tub. And it just makes life a lot easier. Now, in the summertime, you could just open that those doors up and remove that track out of the pool, and that whole area just becomes a part of your outdoor living area. So it allows your pool to become a full member of your outdoor living area, and to be able to enjoy it year round. And that's really what we strive to do when we design an outdoor living area, is to make it to where it's comfortable for you to enjoy the area for a whole lot longer period of time, not just in the warmer months. And that's, you know, you spend a lot of money to get that exactly where you want it and the look you're looking for. But it seems an absolute shame that you're only able to enjoy that, you know, the 3 months out of the year when it's warm outside. And unfortunately, like years like this, it gets too warm outside. And of course, that's one of the reasons why people install pools in their backyard, is because if it gets too warm, they can go out there and take a quick swim and cool off. But there are many ways to design an outdoor living area to where you can make it more comfortable and more enjoyable, and able to use it much longer than what you would normally be able to use without some of these additional amenities that we provide. So if you're thinking about designing an outdoor living area, we'd love to talk to you. Our designer is very capable of helping you get that outdoor living area to a point where you can enjoy it most of the year. That just makes that investment much more justifiable when all of a sudden you can enjoy it year round as opposed to just 3 or 4 months. We also want to talk real quick about a house plant called Calyantha. You may know it as the peacock plant or the zebra plant. Some people call it the rattlesnake plant. Some people call it the prayer plant. Now, this plant, they have various colored leaves on them. They're not just the traditional green and white of a traditional prayer plant. You can get them in all sorts of exotic colors, purples and pinks and whatnot. It's really it can be an absolute drop-dead gorgeous plant. Now, it is a little persnickety on how you take care of it. You know, it likes moist soil. And so when it gets about 25% dry, it's time to give it a drink. And it doesn't like chlorine from your city water. So you have to use either rainwater or distilled water when watering this plant. It just will not tolerate anything but that. It likes bright light, but no direct sunlight. If you give it what it wants, it could be an absolute drop-dead gorgeous plant. It likes humidity, so you might have to give it a little more humidity than what you're used to. But those that can give the plant what it needs will be rewarded with a beautiful plant. We're out of time for today. We appreciate your stopping by and listening to our show today. If we can help you in any way, come out and see us or give us a call on the phone. Take advantage of our 50% off sale. Have a great week, Louisville.